Dr. William Elliott III is an associate professor at University of Kansas, founder of the Assets and Education Initiative as a center at KU's School of Social Welfare. Dr. Elliott, a leading researcher in the field of children's savings and college matriculation and success. That's the first time I've ever said matriculation on this show. I'm proud
of
that.
All right.
College debt crisis, how student borrowing threatens financial well-being and erodes the American dream. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Doctor, in your experience, is the problem more with the students or the parents who don't understand what's going on?
Well, when you talk about don't understand, I think it's kind of a misnomer in some ways, because think about it. I mean, even economists can't predict how much debt a student will be in or what they'll earn after they graduate college. So to a degree, it's about knowledge, but that's really the smaller picture in the case of college debt.
Are kids being led to believe, I guess this is pretty much an open question, are they being led to believe, listen, all you got to do, I mean, take on the debt, you're going to get this job once you get out and everything will be fine. I mean, it almost feels that way.
For sure, and that was a less of a risk for students when they didn't have to take on as much debt, and debt didn't make up so much of our financing, because if you didn't get a job, well, maybe you got a good liberal education and you knew some things, but you weren't then strapped with trying to make the student debt payments.
See, and I actually sat and listened as advisors to students have told them, don't worry about the debt. And they said, college debt is good debt. Take as much as you need and don't worry about it.
It'll pay off in the end.
Yeah,
right?
And if you're a young kid sitting there listening to somebody tell you that, I can see how you could get duped.
No, absolutely. But one of the reasons we said that is because typically education researchers and economists have thought about education as an access problem. So what that means is essentially the problem is kids don't have enough money to go to college. And if the only problem is you don't have enough money to go to college, it doesn't matter if you borrow or whatever else you do, you just need to get the money to go and all your problems will be solved. But we need to start thinking about financial aid differently.
Okay.
That it's not just about access, but it's also about preparation. And it's also about how you do after you graduate from college and how it affects that.
So talk about these children's savings accounts.
Yeah, this is kind of the opposite of a kind of a debt society in which we try to empower children through building assets that can be used not only for college but other things. And so children's savings accounts, states like Maine have started statewide children's savings accounts where every kid gets $500 from birth, and then they get matched a dollar for a dollar, and they're encouraged to save starting early in life, not waiting to finance college until 10th grade, but starting at birth and thinking about saving and building connections to financial institutions.
Now, obviously, the parents are going to be the custodians of this at least early on. So how do we convince them to, I mean, be in a situation where, well, they're either going to go to college or I'm going to get a boat whenever these kids turn, 18 or 19 years old?
No, absolutely. But you'd be surprised that most of the research we've done, parents have expectations and aspirations for their kids. And a lot of times in America, that includes going to college. So it's not that hard of a convince. The real problem is a culture in which we've thought about financing college not until we're in 10th grade. And we've thought for years that we'll just mortgage our home for financing college when we should be thinking about savings. It's not just college savings. We lack in savings in all areas of our lives.
Now, we had in Cuyahoga County, where we are, and we're talking to William Elliott about the book, The Real College Debt Crisis. We had in Cuyahoga County a program where each kid born in the county, I think they deposited $100 in an account, and then the county deposited for each kid, and then the parents would add to it, or grandparents, whatever. It failed miserably. I think only like three people actually followed up. It was just an absolute disaster here.
Yeah, I think it failed for a number of reasons. It really never got started, to be honest. I mean, you started the program, but then it was gone almost a year later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it was the way it was administered. Programs like in Maine have been going on for the last 5 years. San Francisco has a citywide program that's doing quite well, where savings is quite high. Promise Indiana and Indiana County, Wabash County has a program. Nevada, state of Nevada, has a program. So I think Cuyahoga County had a lot of issues with its startup and the way it was run.
So was it a lack of knowledge about it? In other words, did it need some PR behind it? Did it need, is that what falls short in some of these cases where it doesn't ultimately work its way through?
Yeah, and I think this is the one glaring case of it not working at this point. And some of it's probably the motivation for starting it, but I'm not going to claim to be an expert on why Cuyahoga County failed, but some of these things are started more for political reasons and not for bigger aspirations of getting kids to college and helping them save and become savers.
Now, I'm not sure if enough people understand. Again, we're talking to William Elliott, the real college debt crisis. I don't think enough people understand the ramifications of this debt. They don't understand that when they graduate from school and owe $100,000 and get ready to go buy a house, a car, or whatever, they might not be able to do it.
No, absolutely. And we've just begun to even ask the question of whether or not a student who goes to college with debt, if they're better off when they come out than a student who doesn't have debt. And that question has opened up things like we find that kids have less net worth if they have debt. They have less, they're less likely to have retirement savings, and they save less. They buy their homes later in life, and they have less equity in those homes. They marry later. They actually delay having kids. And so we're just beginning to even ask the question, because you talked earlier about that counselor who just said, take on any debt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the mindset for so long. And when you think about college as only an access point, then you end right up in these kind of problems.
One of the other problems they run into that I've talked to kids who say, I hate my job, but I can't dare do anything else because I have this debt that I'm paying back, and I can't be without a paycheck for even a week.
No, absolutely. That's kind of the underlying problem of debt itself. It's not just about the debt. And you mentioned $100,000 in debt, but a new Federal Reserve study showed that even $5,000, $10,000 kids tend to default a lot on those because maybe they didn't graduate college or other kinds of problems. So just the whole idea of using debt as your main way of financing college is flawed.
And the reality is, and what needs to be reminded on a regular basis, once you're out of college, that means instantly that debt is coming due. I mean, not all at once, but you got to start paying on it.
You got to start making payments.
And, yeah,
absolutely.
And that's whether you graduated, doesn't matter. I mean, it's out there, and it's going to be sitting there, and that's an issue.
It is, and it's hard to understand because it's not like a car loan where you understand how much money you're making. And you understand what your payment's going to be. With student loans, you're doing this, you know, as an 18-year-old, and you don't know what job you're going to have, and you don't know how much the payment's going to be because you don't know how much education you'll get and how much that will cost. And so that creates problems as well.
See, I've often said, and no one listens to me because I'm not intelligent, but I've said, even if they said to the kids, you have to pay $10 a month while you're in school, they should pay while they're in school so they understand that this is a debt. I talked to so many kids that say, well, this 4 years from now, or when I'm do my graduate study, so it's so far to them, they don't really understand it as real debt. And even their, like I said, parents, I was just talking to a girl who doesn't need a loan right now, but she was offered a loan, and one of her relatives said, by all means, take it.
Wow.
Right, you can use that money for other stuff. You can use it to live, and no, you shouldn't.
Now, I think it's interesting, and I think it's why converting to a more of an asset-empowered approach would be better to teach kids about saving. But I would also like to say that I think that thinking to some degree is flawed because it's a way of maintaining the current debt system,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just that debt's okay. And so I think, so even like income-based repayment plans, a lot of times we're converting to these kind of things, these kind of interventions to maintain the current system instead of saying, hey, instead of you having to pay $10 of debt while you're in college, maybe we should reduce the cost of college and find other ways to finance college other than debt. Or at least not make it the primary way we finance college.
How about going, the initial thing should be to go to the most affordable college that has something. I'm saying is that if one college you would be $20,000 a year and another one would be $100,000 or $50,000 a year, we need to start encouraging people to go to the, you know, to the less expensive college. That would eliminate some of the debt right there.
I kind of have a question for you, though. Who would we be encouraging? High-income families?
No,
because they would have the money to go wherever they wanted in life.
Yeah.
And the education system is supposed to be the great equalizer in society.
But
right?
my point is that cost does not equal necessarily better.
And what it actually does is when you encourage people who can't afford it, they get set back even further rather than being equalized.
See, I would agree with all that, but I think that's a product of our current system. Let's change the system so where people can go to a college that their effort and ability take them to, right? And there is, I went to Washington University, which is like, you know, a mini Harvard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, and I was a poor person, I study all this, and I didn't realize when I went there the kind of advantages you get for having gone there with social capital. When I got out of there, people said, oh, you went to Wash U, right? It was a big deal. And in our current system, that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we, you know, I may not agree, but you're more advanced than I am on that, so I will defer to you for right now.
Part of what I think is maybe before they can accept a loan, maybe force them to take some type of a class so they know what they're getting into. Because right now it's so easy for a kid to get a loan. All you have to do is click accept on the computer.
Yeah, and I think this is all good ideas. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with any of it. I think kids should be educated on what their effort and ability and what job they can have afterwards, so they choose a college wisely based on cost and everything else. But my point would be is why are we trying to maintain the current system so hard? Like, we create all these things that kids should do, where if we could just change how we finance college and the cost of college, then they wouldn't have to make these kinds of decisions in the first place, because they can't make them accurately anyhow, because they don't know what they're going to make later on in life.
How does the children's savings account affect the cost of college?
Well, there's been research done where it shows that having savings can reduce debt, not surprisingly, right? That's kind of common sense. But I think one of the ways is we need to think more broadly about it as well. So we can take a Pell Grant or something like that, instead of giving it to them at the time they access college, put it in their account early on. They can't use it for anything but designated purposes.
No, I didn't phrase it properly. When I say the cost of college, I'm talking about the way the college tuition, et cetera, has gone up at a much higher rate than the rate of inflation. What would this do to affect? Colleges are saying, we'll keep, and I don't blame them, if someone's willing to pay this, we'll keep charging it. What's going to happen to actually make the college costs come down?
Well, I think Hillary Clinton came up with some ideas that were good, not all of it, but and one is just at least taking on the idea of having financial aid and access to federal money being tied to cost of college, right? And so I think we're going to have to be purposeful in helping colleges understand the need to reduce cost.
Well, we've got one here locally that's trying, but they're getting beat down on it pretty bad. We'll see what happens there. This is thought-provoking at the at the very least. The Real College Debt Crisis, the name of the book. William Elliott, thanks for taking the time, and we appreciate it.
Thanks for the spirited conversation.
You got it.